May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 347. Lord, how many are my foes, many they that me oppose. Thou my strong protector be, all my safety is in thee. Hymn 347.
Us to read the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah, chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honour before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again, under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, If ye can break my covenant of the day, and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne. And with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we pray now for the grace we need to truly pray. Oh, we pray thou wouldst not leave us to ourselves, carnal else will be our cries. Oh, Lord, do grant spirituality, spiritual life, spiritual desires. Oh, a proper realization by thy revealing of our stand before thee, that we cannot stand because of our sins. As Ezra confessed it, O Lord, we pray then, help us to plead that thou wouldst favour us with mercy, that we may have a standing ground. Lord, that thou wouldst cause us to stand in thy Son. Oh, it may be he instead of us is seen as we approach unto thee, so to enable us to fall in self, fall before thee, put our mouths in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. Help us, Lord, to plead the name of Jesus. Oh, do reveal him to us, we pray. Oh, Lord, we pray for that blessing we've read of. This is the name wherewith she should be called, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, Lord, we do pray to have imputed to us thy righteousness, Lord Jesus. May we be found coming in that way the returning prodigal was found in. For Lord, that is the way thy people receive that blessing, imputed righteousness. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Oh, do grant us then true repentance. cause there to be a return from all our gaddings, from all our idolatry, from all our wasting of our substance on harlots and riotous living. O Lord, convince us each, we pray, of our sin, and grant repentance. O Lord, help us. We may be found like that prodigal returning towards his Father's house. And we thank thee for that that we read. And while he was yet a great way off, his father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Lord, we pray, oh, do grant that we may be favoured in the same way. Oh, to know that we are greatly beloved of God, as Daniel was told it, O man greatly beloved, peace be unto you, fear not. Lord, we pray then, come and help us for thy name's sake. Come and grant that we may this evening know a little real worship of God in the person of his Son. Lord, take the veil away, breathe the living word, grant the power, Lord, thy power, saving power. Lord, all power belongeth unto thee. And Lord Jesus, thou didst say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. O Lord, if any of us be dead in sins, oh, we pray for the putting forth of thy power to quicken. Then thy power to convince of sin. Thy power to bring us in confession and supplication for mercy. That power, Lord, that makes a sinner bold in a gracious way. The boldness to plead as a sinner for Jesus' sake alone. Lord, oh, do instruct us. We're fools. Lord, we know nothing rightly but by thy teaching. We can do nothing rightly but by thine enabling. Well, Lord, oh, if our soul be lost, 'tis our fault. Lord, 'tis our sins that separate. 'Tis our sinfulness that binds us. O Lord, have mercy then, for Jesus' sake. Grant, Lord, to this people thy favour. Be those here this evening that are in prison. Put forth thy power and loose them. Those feelingly dead, oh, may it prove this evening, thou hast the same power as when thou didst quicken Lazarus. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Lazarus is dead. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Lord, thou didst say, our brother Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Oh, we pray for that going. Ah, Lord, that coming to us. Thy going forth, Lord, is prepared as the morning. And it is said, and thou hast said it, and he shall come. O Lord, help thy people in patience to possess their souls, realizing that nothing but the coming of Jesus will help them. Looking for it, waiting for it, as they that watch for the morning. Arise, Lord, upon those that fear thee according to thy promise. Son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Lord, we do need that healing we've read of. We do need the pardoning of the iniquity we've read of. Oh Lord, we do need to experience these things. It will not save us reading about them. Lord, we pray, have mercy. Visit us with thy salvation. And Lord, the sweetest experience past cannot help now. Lord, we would plead. Oh, thou hast delivered, will yet deliver. Thou hast spoken, will speak again. Thou hast pardoned, will pardon again. Lord, thou whom thy people have seen, fulfill thy promise, I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Very swiftly our days are passing. Lord, we have not a moment to call our own. It is the past and the present, the future is with thee. However short here below or long that future may be. But Lord, there is an eternal future for all mankind. Oh, we do pray that mercy which makes this truth a blessing. To be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, we plead. Prepare us such that our dying day will be the best day of our life. Lord, have mercy. We are so earthbound, Lord, if one may confess for any other. Lord, we plead. Raise us. According to the prayer of the psalmist, quicken thou me according to thy word. Lord, leave us not to go on. Oh, without that quickening, without the ministry, without the voice, without the contact. Lord, we pray, make us to abide in thee by thy abiding in us. Bless this people, help them each. Undertake, Lord, for them in their sorrows and griefs, afflictions, trials, tribulations, that in thee they may have peace. Lord, sanctify each thing to the good of the soul. Put thy healing hand where it is needful and according to thy will, where otherwise, Lord, sustain. Grant relief. We pray for mourners. Do comfort those that have suffered loss. Oh, we pray those be very gracious and merciful to them. And sanctify this great loss. May the death of one be the means of the life of others. And Lord, we plead for those who would be here if they could. Bless those, Lord, with thy presence. Lord, with thy ministry, who are detained from coming to thy house by lawful means. Remember those away seeking rest and change. Grant them, Lord, thy blessing. You may do them good in their souls and their bodies and minds. Preserve them safe. And Lord, have mercy on any who could be here if they would. Lord, we pray for Zion. Oh, it's an old complaint, Lord. It's in thy word. Few come to a solemn feast. Never has been so. But it seems in this land to be increasingly so. But Lord, it wasn't those that were merely bidden. It was those thy servant was sent out to compel them to come in. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst do that. Thou wilt, Lord. Thou said, I will bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Thou said that the poor and needy shall seek water. And when there is none and their tongue faileth for thirst, thou wilt hear them and not forsake them. Open rivers in high places, fountains in the valleys. Make the wilderness pools of water and the dry land springs of water. We pray for the deacons of this cause. Do help them in all their labours in this office. We pray, Lord, for this people, thy rich blessing. Bless the labours of their deacons and thy servants who minister in thy name. For Lord, we plead for them the promise, I'll give you pastors after mine own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Lord, we pray according to thy will for them this gift. Remember, Britain, in much mercy, though much deserving thy wrath. Lord, oh, do restrain the evil we beg in this country and throughout the world. Preserve thy little remnant. Overrule those in authority in this land and others for the good of thy people. Avenge them of their adversaries. Lord, have mercy. Pardon all we ask wrongly. Grant everything we need. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 480. Up to the fields where angels lie, and living waters gently roll, fain would my thoughts leap out and fly, but sin hangs heavy on my soul. Hymn 480.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We are told this word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. What solemn judgments were upon Israel. What an uncomfortable position Jeremiah, the Lord's servant, was in. But the Lord sustained him in that place. And he sustained him by saying such words as these to him. Long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray they live. And they don't pray unless the Lord enables them to. And he bids his people, whether there be those here this evening in the prison spiritually, or perhaps in your life circumstances, oh, may the Lord in mercy say even to you this evening, call unto me out of the prison, in your bondage. Why, if he speak to you, call unto me. You'll know what it is to have even a little liberty, even in the prison. For where the word of the Lord is with power, the Spirit of the Lord is in it. And we read, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The captivity of the Lord's people is often long. Really, though there are times of blessed gospel liberty granted, the captivity returns, doesn't it? I think it was James Bourne who said, well, the Lord has said the allotted span of man is 70 years and 10, exactly the same number of years as the years of the captivity of the Jews at this time. Why, the living child of God is a captive. That living soul resides in a dead body. That living man is carrying about a corpse with him all day, his old nature. That's the cause of the captivity. In this captivity, the Lord says, call unto me. Even though your captivity is caused by your sin, even though your sin holds you in that captivity, here is the word to bring a shaft of light into that prison. There won't be another shaft of light coming into it. There's no light from within you. And men can't really give you encouragement, can they? All that ever came before me, says the Good Shepherd, were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Your old nature listens to the thieves and robbers, but your quickened soul can't. It can only respond to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And this is the voice of the Good Shepherd. Call unto me. Call unto me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The very fact that the Lord, if I might put it like this, has to call his people to prayer, shows our complete helplessness in ourselves. I thought of Isaiah 43, where the Lord says to his people, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Does that apply to you? I believe if you're taught by the Spirit, if you're made to realize things as they really are, you'll have to say, yes, Lord. He does apply to me. Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. But in that chapter, the 43rd of Isaiah, after the Lord had said that, did he say to his people, because you haven't called upon me, I will be merciful to you no more? No. After those three verses, 22, 23 and 24, where the Lord says how Jacob and Israel have treated him, not brought in the sweet cane with money, but made him to serve with their sins and wearied him with their iniquities. What might we expect to hear? Condemnation, disowning? No, not with this great God. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Is there a greater and mightier thing than that to be asked for? No. Put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Ah, yes, the Lord remembers his people, but he causes them to put him in remembrance of what? What he has said. What he has promised. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Call unto me then, call unto me, not others. Whatever it be in our life, in our soul, in our life's pathway this evening, and there are so many perplexities, aren't there? There are so many sorrows and, oh, there are so many questions. If we are the true and living people of God, have we called unto him and asked him for his answer? Or have we turned these things over and over in our mind and tried to get the answer that way? That's our natural course, because our natural course is unbelief. It is unbelief, and it is unbelief when we look to self or any other creature. It is unbelief when we suppose we can come to a right conclusion over anything, but by the Lord speaking it. It is unbelief when we think we can get any relief from any sorrow or woe, but by the Lord giving that relief. My dear friend, it is unbelief when we say our case is too bad for me to call upon the Lord. I cannot call upon him in this prison. I cannot call upon him while the world has this hold upon me. I cannot call upon him when I'm so fast held in this unbelief. I cannot call upon him when, oh, my heart is as hard as it is now. What's the name we give to that sort of attitude? Aren't we inclined to call it humility? But isn't it really pride? Why is it pride? Because we're looking upon ourselves. If we say, I can't call upon him when I'm like this, what do we think? We think we have been better sometime. And we think we will be better sometime. But my dear friend, the only health of any sinner that has ever walked this earth, the only spiritual health anyone ever had, came freely, sovereignly, mercifully, graciously from Almighty God. He says in this chapter, I will bring it health and cure. Call unto me. Oh, what a blessing is secret closet prayer. What a blessing it is when the Lord, by his powerful operation upon us, brings us to call unto him. This is more than saying prayers. Calling unto him. You see, if he speak these words to you, the effect of that speaking will be you'll be in the condition that is needed. Because you will believe that he is. Because he, Almighty God, has spoken to you, call unto me. And you'll believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. Because he tells you. And this is the reward, call unto me and I will answer thee. Oh, for this, how often a person may say a prayer not really believing the Lord will answer. Of course, we wouldn't admit that unless we were brought to it by the grace of God. And then we wouldn't only admit it, we would mourn over it and plead for the forgiveness of it. How many times have you prayed? You can't count the number of times. When you've prayed and you haven't really believed, the Lord will answer. When have you prayed and believed he would answer? When the thought of him not answering, you couldn't bear it. You really needed what you called on him for. If you really need what you called on him for, and therefore your calling upon him is your only hope, your calling upon him is your only avenue, your calling upon him is the only way, the calling upon him is the only thing that sustains you in that period, before the answer comes, call unto me, and I will answer thee. You say, but I'm not worthy of an answer. No, that's impossible. There's only one worthy one, and that is Christ. He is worthy of all honour, all praise, all thanksgiving. He has magnified his Father's law. He has obeyed it in every jot and tittle. He is that spotless, innocent, pure one. Oh, it is in his name this answer will come. It is significant what precedes in the previous verse. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. And in that name which God giveth himself unto his people is the secret of the answer to the prayers of his people. Merciful, gracious, compassionate, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn in here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed by corruptible things. All your things of yourself are corruptible. Adam in his innocency was corruptible, and he was corrupted. But Christ, the incorruptible, not with corruptible things as silver and gold received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the Lord lead us into that truth for a minute. With regard to this calling unto him, and he will answer. My dear friend, it sets forth the ground of the calling on the name of the Lord, the precious blood of his dear Son. That pure blood, that vital, sin-cleansing blood. All that blood of infinite value, invaluable blood, says the hymn writer. Not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So those that call upon the Father, why? It's in the very name, isn't it? The Father who has that Son, whose blood he required to be shed, and his Son willingly shed it. That blood that the Father says he will look upon. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, he said to the Israelite. And he did. Call unto me. Call unto me. Plead the blood of my Son. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And I will answer thee. It's a promise. Remember what we read in this chapter where the Lord speaks of his faithfulness. He says, if you can break the covenant of the day and the night, so that you can make it so that night doesn't come and the day doesn't come the next morning. If you can do that, then I will break my covenant, says God. But you will never do that. You haven't the power to break that covenant. It's God's covenant, not yours. It isn't you that has said the sun will rise every morning till the end of time. And it will go down every night till the end of time. It's God that has said it. My dear friend, this is what the Lord's people have to go upon in calling upon him. I will answer thee. Now if he says, I will answer thee, he will. Jesus said, indeed, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. Though sometimes God answers in a different way to what we think, And though often he answers at a different time to what we would like, there is no such thing as unanswered prayer. The answer may be no, with respect to the particular thing, I mean this with regard to providential things, or a blessing at a particular time, or a blessing coming in a particular way. The Lord may say no in those cases, because he's provided some better thing. His answer may be wait then. I will answer thee. And his answer will be a complete answer. His answer will be a timely one. His answer will be, oh, a satisfying one. He has a fullness out of which he is able to answer these calls of his people. A fullness. That fullness the Father has laid up in Christ. Now, what is that fullness? It is life for the dead. It is pardon for the guilty. It is grace for the graceless. It is sight for the blind. It is hearing for the deaf. It is strength for the weak. It is wisdom for the foolish. It is all. Great all in all, you just sung. It is all. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I will answer thee. You cannot make too great a request. You cannot be too unworthy in making that request. Not for your sakes do I this, he said, but for my great name's sake. If you say, yes, but I've stayed prayerless for so long, is that a reason to continue to stay prayerless? The fact that you've stayed prayerless for so long is indeed a grievous thing. It is sin. But the one who says, call unto me, is the Saviour of sinners. Our trouble, my dear friend, is this. We forget what Jesus said. The thing I'm particularly thinking of in this is, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Sinners to repentance. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. But then, this call and the promise attached to it sets forth what is vital, what every one of the Lord's people will know. To a greater or lesser degree, all the way through their spiritual pilgrimage from the beginning to the end. And that is communion with God. And this is the place that communion goes on. Of the tabernacle, in particular the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant, God said, there I'll meet with thee, the mercy seat. The mercy seat. Oh, my dear friend, we've got to meet God one day on the judgment seat. We've got to meet Christ one day on the judgment seat. But God very graciously makes the mercy seat the judgment seat here below in the believer's life. I spoke earlier of these many things that perplex us, these questions we have. Well, the greatest question is, isn't it? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Have you really asked God how he stands with you? Let my sentence, said the psalmist, come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. It won't do, my dear friends, to try and build up a picture in our minds. That's all it is. To try and look at this and that. To, as it were, say, well, what evidences have I got that I is right with me? My dear friend, you'll never get right that way. You can only ever get right by God imputing to you the righteousness of his dear Son. And how is that done? I call unto me and I will answer thee. I said just now he makes the mercy seat the judgment seat. But oh, it's a judgment according to mercy. The publican knew it. He went down to his house justified after he had smote on his breast and prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the scripture surely is clear. And it is this. If we truly are brought to pray as that publican did, we shall go down to our house justified as that publican did. We shan't if we're like the Pharisee, who prayed thus with himself, I thank God I'm not as other men are. You know, my dear friend, it's a solemn thing that we can sort of lay claim to the prayer of the publican in our thoughts and perhaps in our conversation. But really, we're more like the Pharisee. His prayer didn't need an answer, did it? And of course, if you think through examining what you call evidences, if you think you come to a conclusion, you don't need an answer. But if you're the Lord's, he will bring you to this point. Marks of grace I cannot show. Is that something that only the seeker in the first part of their experience knows? No. Marks of grace I cannot show. Jonah couldn't show any, could he? David couldn't show any. Peter couldn't show any. Yet I weary am I now, and the weary long for rest. For the Lord here calls you to the place where alone that rest can be obtained. If you've never yet had an answer from him, it's a solemn matter, you know. You may have come in and out of this place for years. You may have been brought here as a little child, a babe in arms. You may think you've prayed many prayers. You may have seen some answers in providential things. I tell you, my dear friend, you need more than that. You need more than that. Providential deliverances are very wonderful, but nowhere near as wonderful as spiritual ones. You have a greater need than anything you can possibly have in providence. And that great need is the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul. And you can only get that in answer. It isn't the prayers that save us. You know, some of us are thankful for that, because we know our prayers are so poor. We know our prayers are so sin-stained. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is that when the Lord says, call unto me, he doesn't require a perfect prayer from his people. Though it is the work of the Spirit to indite prayer, I don't believe he indicts perfect prayers in the sense we would think of them as being perfect. If he did, why would the psalmist have had to pray, let my prayer be set before thee as incense? Not set before me as I've prayed it, but set before thee as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. What was he seeking for? The incense represented the intercession of Christ, the merits. That incense had that perfume. It rose up. The perfume of the name of Christ, the perfume of the merits of Christ, the perfume of that glorious work of Christ. And the evening sacrifice. Jesus said, I thirst. And they reached him vinegar on a sponge upon hyssop. And when he received it, he said, it is finished. And gave up the ghost. The evening sacrifice. Call unto me and I will answer thee. A word from the Lord. More than that. He says here, I will show thee great and mighty things. Why then he calls unto people that cannot see what they need to see. Cannot see what they long to see. They cannot see Christ. Certain Greeks, sir, we would see Jesus. Now, we're not told very much about those Greeks. We're told what their desire was. It could be said, well, there are many people in the gospel day that had what appeared to be a right desire, but there was a wrong motive. The only thing I believe we can say in respect to that is this. What was Jesus' answer? When those Greeks said, sir, we would see Jesus, and the message was relayed to the Lord Jesus, Andrew and Philip. Jesus didn't say, ye seek me because ye saw the miracle, you want the loaves and the fishes. He said, the hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. This is what a true seeker after Jesus is seeking for, the glorification of the Son of Man. That is for him to be revealed in his glory. Moses prayed for it, didn't he? Show me thy glory. Call unto me. You see, if you get showed unto you the glory of Christ, oh, that will overcome everything that's against you, within you and without you. If you get a view of the glory of Christ, that is a view of him by faith, in your law place, in your room place and stead, a view of him by faith, a spiritual revelation of Christ. That which the Lord answered Moses' prayer when he said, show me thy glory, there's a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. Are there those here this evening, and this is the prison you're in? Oh, Christ seems such a stranger to me, and I seem such a stranger to him. His gospel seems so far from me. Much we talk of his blood, much we hear about it, but oh, I seem to know nothing of it. I know nothing of that cleansing. I know nothing of that softening. I know nothing of that renewing might of that precious blood. I know nothing of that love that overcomes, that love that is as strong as death. I know nothing of that that brings a poor mad Gadarene to sit at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. 'Tis to these, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. You certainly won't get what you long for in another way. You won't get the sweet application of that blood in any other way. You won't receive that blood's renewing might another way. Or you won't get that love shed abroad in your heart another way. It's all free grace bestowed. Oh, that beautiful word in the book of the Revelation. Remember, my dear friends, that revelation, it speaks of two eternities. That is two places in eternity. It speaks of the life and the death. It speaks of the blessing and the curse. It speaks of heaven and hell. And it is in the light of that truth that were those words of the Lord Jesus are made so precious to a hell-deserving sinner, a hell-bound sinner. To him that is athirst will I give to drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee. All salvation is in being shown. That was yet his salvation, wasn't it? I've seen yon lovely man. I've seen yon lovely man. Show thee great and mighty things. Great. Infinitely great. The great love of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatness of redemption, as I've quoted it from Peter, with the precious blood of Christ, great. Oh, the greatness of the power of that blood. The greatness of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Show thee great. Doesn't this set forth what these people who call upon him will be asking for? You say, well, my case is so great. I cannot comprehend its greatness. I cannot speak of its greatness. I cannot number the number of my sins. My bad case, if I begin to try to speak of the badness of that case, I never get to the end of speaking of the badness of it. He says, I'll show thee great, great things. My dear friend, there's a greater thing than the badness, the worst of the worst of the cases of the Lord's people. Ah, but you say, but I'm not one of the Lord's people. That's not your judgment. It's God's. And when he calls people to call upon him, He calls them in the condition they are in. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Can you come in there? I'm a man. I don't know. I'm a child of God, but I'm a man. That is a man, a woman, or a boy, or a girl. I'm a fallen son or daughter of Adam. Unto you, O men, I call. I'll show thee great. Oh, the greatness of God's plan of salvation. The greatness of God's work of salvation. Christ in a sinner, the hope of glory. I'll show thee great. When it's shown, when these great things are shown, they will be shown as coming over those great things you came with. That great mountain is made of plain. Oh, those innumerable, that innumerable catalogue of sins pardoned. This stubbornness of your nature completely overcome. This deathliness, this unbelief, completely overcome. These are the great things that the Lord shows his people. I'll show thee great. My dear friend, what great things we have set before us in the Word of God. Why are they set before us there? Firstly, to the glory of God. Secondly, in that the scripture records his great doings. He in effect says to those that read the scriptures, this is what I do for my people. These great things are the things I do for them. Poor John Baptist, beset with unbelief. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Go and show John again the things that ye do hear and see. In that very hour he healed those people. And then he said to those disciples of John, after having done these great things today, go and show John. My dear friend, that's how you'll know whether you know the true Christ or you wait for another. If he doeth these great things for you, the blind see spiritually, the deaf hear spiritually. Oh, my soul seems so deaf, I can't hear. Call unto me. Because I open the eyes of the blind and unstop the deaf ears. I'm dead. The dead are raised up. I'm filthy. I'm leprous. I'm unclean. The lepers are cleansed. I'm poor. The poor have the gospel preached to them. But oh, I fear, Lord, that I'm offended in thee. Blessed are they who are not offended in me. He gives a sinner the great blessing that they are not offended in him. My dear friend, there is nothing. There is nothing that the Lord will not do for his people that is for their good. And if he do these great things for you, you'll not be offended in him. And show thee his great love. Show thee his great mercy. Actually show it. Oh, what a mercy to have a thimbleful of this religion. I don't believe any of the Lord's people will profess to have a lot. But each will have some, a little. Shown things, revealed things, a knowledge of Christ, tasting and seeing that the Lord is gracious. But he calls his people, prove me now, prove me, call unto me, see if I will not answer you. Poor sinner, you that say, oh, but I can't see how I can be a child of God. Try him, my dear friend, try him. I know you can't do it of yourself. But as a Lord's servant, I trust I am. Oh, but this is often called into question. But, oh, I believe the Lord does use me from time to time. You see, the Lord's servants in his word, they're called upon to exhort the people. Not indicating that they have the power in themselves to do it. But if you never try him, what will it prove you haven't the Spirit with you? If you have the Spirit with you, it will be, I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I notice in the margin against that word mighty, it says hidden. Hidden. The hidden things are mighty, aren't they? If you get revealed to you the hidden things, oh, this is might. This is almighty power. This is salvation. This is pardon. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to say. Great and mighty things. Just as it was concerning the great things. You say, oh. And Jeremiah was in that place, wasn't he? Oh, the things I need done. I've got such mighty foes. Mighty enemies without. Much mightier within. But here is the one who is almighty. Almighty. He who with a word spake all things into being. He who with a word, the word of his grace, pardons sins. That mighty, mighty thing. When the pardon of the Lord puts away those great sins. When the word of the Lord quickens that sinner, when the word of the Lord frees that captive, he shall let go my captives. Why? He's got might to do so. What is it holds these sinners captives? Their sins. But this one who is mighty to save bore their sins and put them away. If he convey that to you, you get the mighty thing. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That mighty thing, the bonds of unbelief, the bonds of sin broken, that mighty thing, oh, your soul enlarged, running the way of his commandments. You say, I'm so sluggardly. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. The mighty thing of grace making an unwilling sinner willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Great and mighty things. What a mighty thing is that which takes away the fear. Fear hath torment, says John. Perfect love casteth out fear. That mighty love, that mighty deliverance, the fear not of God. Oh, you see, these things are hidden. Jesus said there is in praise of his Father, didn't he? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Great and mighty things which thou knewest not. So doesn't this set forth what it is these people call unto him for? And it is so right at the beginning of their spiritual experience, and it will be so right to the end. I remember in my own experience brought to that place, Lord, if there is a way whereby such a sinner as I can be saved, oh, show it me. And in his time, I believe he answered me, but I need it again. I believe he has granted it me from time to time. But you see, and so perhaps someone will say, well then, when you've had it shown you, surely it's not a thing that you know not. That's logic. That's human logic. That applies to natural things. But these things we're speaking of, and these things, these hidden things, they're not natural things. They're spiritual. And the Lord brings his people into that place. I know, particularly at times, it's like this. They get into such prison places, into such darkness, they get so far off. The word of the man of God said, didn't he, I forget prosperity. Now some people seem to be able to get on by saying, well, the Lord blessed me once. Well, if they're the Lord's people, they won't get on. Because if you're content with having been blessed once, and you live and die like that, you haven't been blessed once. It's your own imagination. Oh, the Lord brings his people into that place where they need everything made new. And this is what Jesus does. Behold, I make all things new. And when he does, they can eat the old because of the new. The new brings back the old with sweetness, and they can eat it. They couldn't eat it before. Remember that. They shall eat the old because of the new. Not eat the old without the new. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, we come into deeper things as we go on. There's not passed this way heretofore. Call unto me. I will show you that I'll never bring you into a path, I'll never bring you into a situation where I will be unable to help you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you read through this chapter again, those are the great and mighty things, the wonderful restoration, the pardon, all your iniquities and all your transgressions pardoned. And a wonderful restoration. These families which the people said the Lord has cast them off, they won't be able to say that. They will wonder and tremble at the goodness that I will do to this people. And this place, the people say, will never be vibrant again. This place that is desolate, again shall be heard there the voice of joy, the voice of the bride, the voice of the bridegroom. Great and mighty things. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation on Monday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince will preach on Tuesday evening, if the Lord will. Let us close with hymn 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. Hymn 383.
Thank you.
do help us to reduce to practice what we preach and hear. O Lord, forgive all that has been spoken amiss. Cause thy word to remain with us. Remind us of it. Enable us to remind thee of it. Take us each in peace and safety, we pray, to our dwellings. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.